Hi, I'm Benita Croyle, and welcome back to another episode of Holding It Together. For those of you who are new to listening to Holding It Together, our theme for this season is Bodies Holding It Together. So over the course of the next few episodes, we will explore what it is to journey with our bodies and what it can mean to hold, care for, and know our bodies in all the ways that our bodies show up. In this season of pandemic, many of us may know what it is to carry deep pain, grief, sadness, and exhaustion in our bodies. Some of us may know trauma in our bodies and what it is like to bear witness to death. And some of us may know what it is like to experience deep joy and pleasure in our bodies. We are people that hold and experience so much, and this season, we will hold these stories, hold these bodies, and celebrate the movement of the Spirit through us in the world. Today, y'all, we're exploring what it means to think about our bodies in joy. And I want to give a quick content warning. The intro to today's discussion will include a brief mention of sexual abuse. If you generally listen to this podcast with kids, I invite you to consider listening to this episode first with headphones, or skipping the next 5 minutes. And as always, if these topics are activating to you, please do what you need in order to honor your body. Bodies and joy. Whoever's picking these topics is choosing only hard ones. And unfortunately, I only have myself to blame. Joy. What does it mean to you? Have you ever had to deconstruct your definition of it? I don't know about y'all, but joy has been one of those words that I had to learn to unpack as an adult. And let me tell you why. One, if you've been following along these past few podcast episodes, you've probably noticed I tend to be a person that unpacks a lot of words and ideologies. And two, on a more serious note, I've come to understand that sometimes the way in which we once experienced or related to a word or definition changes over time and experience. Sometimes we outgrow definitions. Sometimes we redefine them. Or sometimes, and maybe some of y'all can relate, we realize that what we thought something meant also had a lot of other emotions, ideologies, and layers mixed all up in it. And we learn or may want to deconstruct it. Joy is a word like that for me. As a child that experienced a lot of trauma, I often felt myself drowning in full-body, mind-numbing scream and howl grief. The kind of grief that evaded every thought. Placed immediately into foster care after birth, I, from an early age, began reckoning with realities of family separation, racial identity, and experiences of sexual abuse. And for me, this grief was amplified by the realities and experiences of growing up in a country that doesn't love Black bodies, loud Black girls, or hold space for bodies that experience depression, anxiety, grief, and trauma upon trauma. As a child, I often felt like joy was something that didn't belong to me, and it felt elusive because the way in which I defined joy fundamentally included an understanding that no matter what was happening to me, I was supposed to be happy because that is what God wanted. Oof. Perhaps some of y'all can relate. For me, the way in which I internalized that narrative manifested in some really unhealthy habits. I learned to divorce myself from my body. I learned to hide my anger, grief, clinical depression, and anxiety, and hide behind respectability politics. I learned to be ashamed of my body, of my skin, of my hair, of my voice, of my pain. And these practices of shame and fear were harmful. They did not love or honor my body because they began by ignoring the signs in which my body provided and also were rooted in some really harmful lies. As an adult, I have often said that the first language I ever learned, both vocally and molecularly, was grief. But lately, the language I am learning to know is one of joy that remembers and remembers me. For me, joy is a grounded and sustainable truth rooted in love that remembers and remembers our bodies. It is freedom-oriented, trauma-informed, and it helps to remind us who we are. For me, this has looked like, particularly in times of transition, recognizing those moments when an old lie resurfaces like, I'm not enough, I'm not valid, no one loves me, and realizing that I can now identify those messages as the lies for which they are, and notice that those lies no longer control or hold sway over my body. The practice of joy that remembers and remembers my body invites me to reclaim my body and helps me to ground myself in the truth that I know about who I am and who I have experienced God the Liberator to be. This pursuit of joy then has given me new language and ability to remember my body and remember my body and to love her fiercely and courageously. It has given me new language to set boundaries and to honor my pain. And that, y'all, has felt a lot like joy. Today, I'm here with my friend Andrea de Avila, pastor of Sargent Avenue Mennonite Church in Winnipeg, Manitoba. I first got to know Andrea when we both attended Heston College together, and I am so grateful to hold this space with her today. Reverend Andrea de Avila works as an associate pastor at Sargent Avenue Mennonite Church. She's been there since January 2016, working primarily with youth and young adults in their congregation. Before that, Andrea and her partner Nate were pastors at a small congregation in rural Iowa, USA. In 2019, she graduated from Canadian Mennonite University with a master's in theological studies. Andrea is also an alumna of Eastern Mennonite University and Heston College. She loves volunteer opportunities and has served with 10,000 Villages, Mennonite Church USA, MCC Sargent, and Selkirk Thrift Shops, and Mennonite Church Canada, Friends World Committee for Consultation, among other organizations. She also enjoys watching documentaries, reading interesting articles, and playing with her dog, Fred. Andrea, thank you for being here. I am so looking forward to our conversation today. And as per usual, I have three questions for you. The first is this. I'm curious about how you define joy and what it means to you.
Yeah, thanks, Bonnie, for having me. And thank you for sharing your journey
in
deconstructing joy and what it means to you. And we certainly all come from different journeys in what it means to us to make joy our own and our search for that. It's curious, but I find the word joy very approachable. If that can even be a thing. In comparison, I mean, because I find happiness or being happy very intimidating and scary. There is a weight to those words that I almost don't want to think of them or deal with or reflect of the role they have in my life. However, joy is just much more approachable. When I think about the word or read the word, it makes me smile. I think it's because it's short. And it reminds me that joy can be just a fleeting moment. It's temporary. The expectation isn't that joy should last a lifetime or a season or even a day. It can literally be a passing moment, a thought, an interaction. So the stakes are really low in terms of being able to enjoy and recognize it in our lives. So joy for me is any moment when I can feel good or when I can feel pleasure. Or a particular definition that I liked was a sense of well-being, even if it's, again, short. Or I know it'll be temporary.
Yeah. I like that invitation, Andrea, the accessibility that you named of joy makes me smile. It's a short word. It doesn't have a lot of expectations around it. That helps to expand the definitions of joy that I've come to know and invites me to think about it in a new way. And I really appreciate that. For our listeners, when Andrea was talking about this, you could just see her face radiate with the smile when she said, it makes me smile. I love that. I love that invitation. Andrea, I'm curious, what are the things that you're learning about joy lately?
So for a long time, I struggled carrying expectations of when and where I should be enjoying myself, despite of how I really felt. I have struggled with anxiety now for over half of my life, and that has sometimes led to depression. I also struggle with migraines and headaches, and that has progressively gotten worse over the years. Connected to these struggles are stomach pain and neck and shoulder tension. It is sometimes overwhelming to deal with so much going on within your body. It is exhausting. And people can't see it, right? People wonder why you are not enjoying yourself when everything, at least on the outside, seems to be going well. So I have learned to take joy in taking care of my body. I know that people have very specific ways in which you are supposed to do that. For me, a lot of the time, that means resting, laying in bed a little longer, taking naps, taking time to cook a meal that will settle well in my tummy, choosing not to work full time so that I don't have to overstress my body. That also means choosing ways to live with less. And these are not your standard things that people are very open about. And so when you're open about them, people kind of taken aback.
Little nosy. Sometimes they get a little nosy.
Because you're open and you're saying, oh yeah, I carry pain, you know, half of the days of the month. And they kind of make fun of you because they know that you sleep in or you spend a lot of time at home and you perhaps get the reputation of, you know, being a person that doesn't work a lot and likes to not be a morning person or things like that. And I've learned to be okay with that. and actually take joy in taking care of my body, because I can be a happier person if I'm feeling well.
Yeah.
Whereas if I were stressed, if I were pushing my body, I'd be miserable. And again, that comes at the price, perhaps, on other people's expectations. And that has been hard at times, to not carry people's expectations. But I think the learning is, I don't have to carry people's expectations.
Yeah.
I can have joy in knowing that I am doing this for my body. And so the other side of this is living fully into the moments when I feel a sense of well-being. And that's why I like that definition, because the sense of well-being is actually joy, and I don't always feel it. So when I do get to feel it, I know that my body is well rested, is well taken care of, and other people take that for granted. Whereas when I'm pain free, even just for a day or for a few hours, that brings me joy.
Yes.
And so the learning to not take that for granted. And I tend to not spend that time working, actually. I tend to spend that time where I get the sense of well-being at home doing something that I enjoy.
Yeah.
Because I can push through, you know, a headache, or I can push through, you know, having shoulder tension or stomach pain, or, you know, feeling a little anxious. But when you're fully feeling well, you want to be doing something that you enjoy. You don't want to be sacrificing those moments. So those have been some learnings.
Andrea, I am sitting here and just really reflecting and really grateful for the way in which you identify. Sometimes pursuing joy means honoring your body at the risk of societal expectations. Understanding risk, and then also understanding the pursuit of joy, sometimes takes a cost, whether it's something that you're just cognizant of and you said, I'm okay with it, I know that this is expectation, I'm okay with it, but also staying true to honoring what your body needs. I think in Western society, where so many are socialized to divorce their needs from their body, hearing you articulate so clearly, I'm in tune with my body. It's important for me in the pursuit of joy to listen to my body and to honor it. It's really powerful. And I really appreciate that centering. I also am just listening and paying attention to thinking through, what does it mean to rest? When you said sometimes joy just means like not doing anything, allowing myself to really be in the moment or do something that I deeply enjoy without the pressures of work or thinking about. And that's something I know I've been struggling with, is allowing myself to get into those moments where I'm fully present and I'm not having background noise or thinking in the back of my head about all of the things that I need to be doing, but being really deeply attuned to the present moment. And hearing you talk about how that also is important to joy. So I deeply appreciate that centering. I'm curious for my last question for you today, and we'll see if anything comes up with the follow-up. What are two or three things, and you spoke a little bit about it, that you're learning to honor the way in which you experience joy? I know you said you're honoring your body's needs, and you're doing that despite of societal expectations. But I'm curious if there's other things that you're learning to honor about your joy.
Yeah, we were talking about work, and I know that perhaps a lot of listeners struggle with the balance of work and life and bodies and happiness. And, you know, again, I don't like talking about happiness, because that has such a huge... amount of baggage for me, but let's stick with joy right now.
Yeah.
But I think for me, if I know that I am working, coming from a space where I am not feeling well, I am perhaps not honoring not just myself and my body, but the people that I'm serving. And again, you know, I serve as a pastor, I serve a community, and of course I serve God, right? And
yeah,
and I know that we all serve God, but I serve God by serving others. And so when I have to do visits and when I have to do phone calls, and I'm going to be sitting there thinking the whole time, my stomach doesn't feel well, I can't stand the tension on my shoulders, my head is about to explode, I am not honoring that visit. I am not honoring that phone call. I am not honoring that sermon writing or that the way that I'm going to put that service together. And so I really do try to avoid tasks when I'm not feeling well, and not just because I don't feel like pushing my body, but because I don't want to dishonor even the work. And I know that not everybody has that flexibility. And yet I was talking to one of my friends, actually my housemate, Janelle Wright, and she is Indigenous. She's from the Cree people here in Manitoba, Canada. And she was saying that she beads, traditional beading. And she was saying that when she doesn't feel well, she doesn't bead. You know, and you would think that if you have, for example, cramps, it would be a nice thing to just sit and be beading, because you don't really want to be doing anything else, right? And she says, no, because you're putting sort of like bad energy into that. Your body doesn't feel well. And so in Indigenous culture, you don't really want to be doing things for other people if you yourself, your body is not feeling well. Yeah. And I think instinctively, I have carried that, in that I don't want to be doing work if I'm not feeling well. And so I, from the beginning, have said, I don't want to work more than half time, because I really need that flexibility. And if I'm not feeling well, I can move some of the work to a different day when perhaps my body will allow me to honor the work and honor the people that I am serving, and do it with joy, which is the most important thing, because I get so much joy from my visits, and I get so much joy from calling folks and having them share their life stories with me. And I really enjoy writing sermons, which I know it's not everybody's, you know, bread and butter, but I really do. And so I don't want to do these tasks when I'm not feeling well. And I think there is an important learning in doing less, perhaps. And again, I know that it is not possible for everyone, but I am in a position where I can live with less. And so I will do less in order to take care of my body, get the most joy that I can out of what I'm doing, and serve the people in the with the most legitimacy and honor and joy.
Andrea, I thank you for those words. I'm really sitting and just reflecting with that last piece, especially, I will do less. Maybe there's an invitation there to our listeners. I know I'm feeling that as an invitation. Really, really respecting the way in which you're setting boundaries around your joy and around your body. I think for me, that is something that I definitely want to aspire to. As I have been reflecting on the way in which I mentioned earlier, need to rest, need to be in the moment, setting boundaries around my own joy and also getting a little bit more information about what it means to say yes from a joyful place. All of those pieces are combined for me. But I'm curious if you maybe are in one or two moments could say, how did you get there? How, I know you said it was kind of instinctive for you. I'm so curious though, was there any catalyst or models or what helps you to stay there?
I've kind of always known it. But there has been a few times when I've really pushed myself. I mean, certainly during COVID, and there has been times where there has been a lot of need. And like I said, I've struggled with anxiety, and that has sometimes led to depression. And I can think of a time where I just went on full depressed, you know, medication, had to take a leave of absence from my job. Yeah. And reflecting back, it was really not paying attention to my body and asserting my boundaries and saying, I can't keep, you know, I can't keep going this route. And in many ways, I knew where those benchmarks were, and I knew where those limits were. And, you know, going back to the societal expectations and other people's expectations, not just societal, but individual expectations, and letting them influence you enough because of high pressure, you know, points.
Yeah.
Where you think, okay, yeah, I can keep going. And then at some point, your body's saying, no, you can't.
Yeah.
So that was a big, big learning for me. And this is not to say that, you know, I blame myself or I blame others. Right. This is just, like you're saying, you know, a learning. Mm-hmm. If you really don't listen to your body, and if you don't take the time to soak up that joy and go through the different steps that you know are the healthier rhythm for you, it will take a toll in the long term. Mm-hmm. And of course, not everybody deals with anxiety and depression and, you know, pain, constant pain. But I think that most people have different breaking points, whether we know them or not. You know, people get irritable. Right. People will start lowering their efficiency. People will start becoming more distanced from their families, or we all have different ways that we show the ways that our bodies and our minds are taking a toll.
Yeah.
And that because we're not allowing ourselves those breaks and those moments of joy, and mm-hmm. and that our bodies are wearing out. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the big mistakes have been a learning point for me, but also I have friends like I shared, you know, Janelle, in my conversations with her, and what her grandma has taught her in terms of we don't pass on bad energies. And I'm like, that makes so much sense. That's kind of what I've been trying to do this whole time.
Yeah. Right?
My other learning point has been my grandma. My grandma, it's so funny. She was a teacher and she really loved her students. She advocated for students. She comes from a family of teachers, but she never overworked. She was a teacher, but that was not her whole identity. She was a mother. She was a woman. She was a Christian. She was all these things. She was not just a teacher that she was going to devote her entire life and all of her time to her students or her school. And her when school was done, it was done. She went home and she didn't think about it anymore. I mean, sometimes marking, but that was it. And when she retired, that was it. Actually, some of her old coworkers would tell her, like, man, we don't see you around. Some of the teachers come around sometimes and, you know, say hi to the students and the staff. And she's like, no, I'm done. I'm done teaching. So I think she was a really good, really, really good example of not overworking and really listening to what you need.
I love that model and I love that example. I often think, and I invite our listeners to also consider who has taught them about joy, who has set good boundaries and modeled what joy has meant in ways that you've internalized. So I love that it was your grandma and your friend that you're learning from, Andrea. I wanted to hold space, Andrea, and just rename and thank you for what you brought today. Things that I'm definitely taking away is just that commitment, again, to pay attention to what my body needs, to honor what my body needs, and to set boundaries around it. I have learned so much from you from this conversation, deeply enjoyed the way in which you talked about the accessibility of joy and defined it, and then also how it has shown up in your life. Andrea, thank you so much for what you brought today. I want to toss it to you and ask you if you have any final burning thoughts that you want to add before we wrap up today's episode.
Yeah, I was thinking that I was going to, you know, insert my pastoral thoughts here and talk about Jesus for a moment and say that I think Jesus is another example that has really influenced me in thinking about taking care of ourselves and thinking about joy and really living in the moment. Because, well, first of all, we have the example of him being at the wedding. And, you know, we know that weddings usually lasted like at least 3 days. Yeah. And, you know, making more wine and just enjoying the moment, really, really enjoying the moment and being with people. And we also have examples of him wanting to get away from the crowd, meditating or praying. And we don't have, I think, the picture that many people want to paint of this always self-sacrificial person that no matter what is going to be there for people. It's like, no, sometimes he did go away. He did need that time to rest. He took care of himself. And at the same time, he enjoyed the company of others. He liked food to the point where others criticized him and his disciples of, why are you always eating and drinking, where there's other religious leaders that, you know, fast and really go all out in terms of holding themselves back from enjoyment. And that was not the type of life that Jesus led or showed his disciples. It was being with people and enjoying themselves and living in community. And so I think that being present in those moments and allowing yourself to enjoy what is there, and at the same time retrieving when you need to retrieve, has been an example that I see in Jesus, and has allowed me to say, okay, so it doesn't have to be serve, be available, never say no. And I know that I've shared this particularly in Mennonite communities, and it seems like people don't like to hear that, but I'm gonna stick with it.
Go ahead.
Perhaps because it's very self-serving, but also because I think that in my interpretation, it shines a much more accessible way of living.
Yeah. Thank you, Andrea. I am loving those images you presented. The Jesus that sets boundaries, the Jesus that honors their needs, the Jesus that loves food. As a foodie, I really appreciate that image as well. But so, so grateful for that recentering and sharing those beautiful models of finding joy in grandma, finding joy in your friend, finding joy in Jesus. Yes, 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 yes. Andrea, thank you for being here today, for sharing with us what you are learning about your body and joy. I am holding the invitation that you shared earlier about honoring our bodies in ways that we need, even when it asks us to rest. And I am holding space for the realities that honoring our bodies in the way that they need aren't always possible for all of us. Friends, I wonder what you may be carrying throughout this episode. What sticks out with you? This episode was produced by me, Benita Croyle, with editing help from Alex Woodring and music by my dear friend Red Fajan Titi Halawa. Holding It Together is a joint production of Women in Leadership and MCUSA, and a reminder that the views expressed on this podcast are my own and not necessarily indicative of MCUSA. Look for us on our page on the MCUSA website, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or your favorite podcast streaming site. I'm your host, Benita Croyle. Thanks for listening, y'all, and catch ya on the flip side.